Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Nice to be in Calvary Gospel Church this evening and see the faithful saints of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. Amen. Here we are. So let's all stand tonight, shall we please? And I appreciate the leadership of this church, Bishop and Sister Grant and Pastor and Sister Roy Grant. My first time to minister here was in 1975, so that was 42 years ago. So I think I was five the first time I preached here. But it's my desire to be a blessing to you tonight, to every guest and visitor. I pray that the word of the Lord will be easy to understand and meaningful to you. I was thinking the other day, I've never, you know, the world talks about having a hangover. You know, the strongest thing I've ever drunk is caffeine-free Diet Coke. So, but I guess I believe in spiritual hangovers. You know, what you hear tonight, I want it to hang over for about 6 weeks. Okay, even a six-month hangover wouldn't be a bad idea. So. It's good to be in an apostolic church. Church that believes in repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ, receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. So let's, while we stand, open our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. I was at a church one time, and a visitor said, that's all you read in your church is Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you know. I said, well, I'm glad we read it. Some never read it, you know. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Let's all say do, because you need to do something. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And that first phrase in verse 42 is just as important as verse 38. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. I used to receive a very, very quality Christian magazine entitled Discipleship Magazine. And I was really actually sad when they went out of business, and so they automatically changed my subscription to Christianity Today. But Discipleship Magazine just really emphasized what the title was, discipleship. Good, strong, scriptural teaching. It was not apostolic in doctrine, but the Bible principles that they taught were very powerful. But then when I started getting Christianity Today, you know, it's interesting, too, because of all the Christian news that's going on around the world. But a few years ago, actually, I think it was 5 years ago, I was reading Christianity Today, and I tore out this page to carry with me all the time in my Bible, because a man wrote a book entitled The Most Misused Verses in the Bible. And the word most or the word misused is highlighted in red. The most misused verses in the Bible. And do you know what one of the most misused verses in the Bible is, according to him? Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Is there a danger when reading Acts 2:38, when Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost"? Is there a danger of thinking that baptism is a precondition of salvation? This was a specific command given to a specific group of people who were about to express their salvation through baptism. And then I begin to think, you know, God is no respecter of persons. So he's not going to give this group a different command than he gives this group. All right? There is a difference between the means of salvation and an immediate response to salvation. I don't quite understand that, but baptism was an expression of what had already happened in the heart. Baptism was not to be linked with salvation, because that would make salvation the product of a specific action, contradicting the teaching that salvation comes through faith and not of works. And Paul said, "I'm going to show you my faith by my works of obedience." Because if you really believe the word of God, you're going to do what it tells you to do. If you really believe there was gold in your backyard, you'd be digging holes there. But you don't believe it, so why dig holes in your backyard? Now, I want to write a book entitled "The Most Unused Verses in the Bible." And the whole book will be on Acts 2:38. All right. Do you understand, in the book of Acts, there was only one church? Not Methodist, Mennonite, Baptist, whatever, but there was a church. I remember a man telling me, "Peter was the first pope, you know." I said, "No, I didn't know that." But I said, "But if he was the first pope, I wish the present pope would still preach what the first pope preached." How does that sound? Okay. Can't you see Vatican Square filled up with about 150,000 people? And here comes the pope. I don't know. I don't speak too much Italian other than spaghetti and ravioli, but. He comes and he says, you know, "Repento, be baptismo, every one of you in the name of Jesu Christo," you know. Wouldn't that be great? I'm thankful for Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But in verse 42, these about 3,000 that were baptized and received the Holy Ghost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the word doctrine means teaching. Peter didn't say, "Come on in, repent, get baptized, speak in tongues, receive the Holy Ghost, and go back to your pagan religion." "Come on in, repent, get baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, and go back to the Jewish faith." Because the church is still the called out ones. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." So it's important that everyone in this house repents and you are baptized in Jesus' name and you receive the Holy Ghost. But then it's still very important that you do one more thing. You continue steadfastly in this doctrine. Because you will not get saved without doctrine. And you will not stay saved without doctrine. We are living in a world where the world does not want any doctrine at all. How can these TV preachers and their ministries preach a whole lifetime and never preach a doctrinal message? Never preach a doctrinal message. Now, that's why, you know, stations don't even want apostolic preachers on their stations, because we preach doctrinal messages. Now, I was preaching a revival in upstate New York, and there was this church had a very strong campus outreach, and there was a college student that came of the Catholic faith. And, you know, his name is Michael. He didn't come to the altar or anything in that service. But I'm talking to him in the vestibule. And do you know what Michael did? He invited me to church. He said, "I came to your service. I'd like to invite you to my service." I said, Michael, if it's on a night I'm not preaching, I will come to your service. He said, Brother Mackey, he said, it is like a service. He said, but it's not in the church. He said, we have a Catholic campus ministry group going on at our university, and that's where I want you to come. And I go, yes, that's where I want to come, you know. So he gave me the directions to the campus. And so when I went that Tuesday night, he said, it's on a Tuesday night. I said, I can come on a Tuesday night. When I went on that Tuesday night, I didn't wear a suit, white shirt, and tie. I put on slacks and a sports shirt and a sweater, you know, try to look like a college student, you know. And every Tuesday, and when the Tuesday night I went, every Tuesday night, they have a Catholic priest there and a Bible study group leader there. But the Tuesday night I attended, the Catholic priest was sick with the flu, and the Bible study group leader was sick with the flu. So we go in there, and there's 26 students, 26 of us total. And they said, what can we do? Now, I'm a guest. I'm not going to even suggest what to do. But finally they said, let's all put our chairs in a circle, and if everyone reads a scripture and talks about it for 2 minutes, that's 46 minutes. That's a long service right there. And we've now been here 45. And I'm going to preach at least five more. Okay. So the first individual read Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they talked about God wants to be our shepherd. And they went around and around and around. And I was the third one from the end. So I read John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, you can reject me and reject my words, but you still have one that judges you. The word that I have spoken, the same word shall judge you on the last day. So I emphasize we're not going to be judged by what we think, what we feel, what our opinion is, what our convictions are. We're not going to be judged by what grandma says or by what Uncle Harry says. We're going to be judged by what the word of God says. So I said, it's vital that we look to the Bible. And then the next one talked, the next one. And then they closed by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then they had coffee and donuts. Is that apostolic or what? They're almost apostolic already, all right? So Michael was introducing me, and some of these students said, boy, your word was really with authority and power. Tell us what you believe. I said, I will give you one Bible doctrine that is absolutely essential. And they said, what's that? I said, you must be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We ended up talking till 12 o'clock midnight about water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. And at midnight, 13 of them said, we want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I was excited too. But I said, it's not that easy though. There's one thing you must do first. And they said, what's that? I said, repent. You must repent. That's not enough amens. Does it say get baptized then repent? All right. So they say, will you come back next week and talk about repentance? I said, I'll be here. So the next Tuesday, I put on my college clothes again, went to the campus, came down the hall, and right in front of the door was a Catholic priest and the Bible study group leader. I knew he was the priest because his collar was turned backwards, you know. So I'm approaching them, and they're standing there like this. Now, I never read the book on body language, but they were talking, okay? Not like this. And I said, hello, gentlemen. They said, are you Mackey? I said, yes, my name's Jonathan Mackey. They said, we don't want you here. But I said, this group of students invited me to be here this evening. The priest said, we had such love, such harmony, such unity, till you came here with your doctrine. And then the Bible study group leader said, your doctrine has divided us. And I looked at both of them and I said, that is what doctrine does. Jesus said, when I come, do you think I brought peace? I bring a sword when I come. Father against son and mother against daughter. Why? Because someone wants to take drugs? No, there's division when somebody wants to obey what the Word of God tells them to do. Now, so we were just having a discussion. It was not an argument by any means, but the door was open and all these students were huddled around the door listening. They would not let me in the room. And they were bigger than me. They were linebackers, and I don't know what I am, you know, but anyway. So is this the Soviet Union or what? Isn't it America? They would not let me in. When they would not let me in, Michael was the first one. Michael and six others came out, and all of them came to that revival I was preaching. They all repented, were baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. But that's the attitude. We don't want doctrine here. Doctrine divided us. And it does divide. Now, you read the word doctrine 56 times in the Bible. You read it, you read the word only 6 times in the Old Testament. From Genesis to Malachi, in 4,000 years, you only read the word doctrine 6 times. And half of the times are future tense. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. Who shall understand doctrine? But then we read about doctrine 38 times. We read about doctrine 12 times in the Gospels and 38 times in the epistles. In the Gospels, it's referring to the teaching of Jesus Christ. When Jesus is teaching, they said, what new doctrine is this? But then from Acts to Revelation, we read about it 38 times. Do you know what epistles are? Epistles are letters written to the church, to the saints in Ephesus, not to the drug addicts in Ephesus, to the saints in Galatia, people that have repented, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, to be totally honest and totally blunt, anyone that has not been baptized in Jesus' name, repented of their sins, or filled with the Holy Ghost has no right to read after the book of Acts in the Bible because it's my mail. Really? Now, I get mail forwarded to me every 2 weeks when I'm on the road. If I had mail sent to Jonathan Mackey, care of Roy Grant, I would be offended if he opened up my mail. I mean, he could have my phone bill and my Visa bill. All right. But all the rest is mine. But I want you to know, everybody, the fact we read about doctrine 38 times from Acts to Revelation lets us know doctrine is not to be ignored. Doctrine is not to be neglected. Doctrine is not to be put on the shelf. There must be a church in Madison that is continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So what we're going to do, we're going to read a little bit of our mail, all right? And if you're a visitor here, you can look over my shoulder and read my letter, all right? Let's look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. Saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem. The word filled in the Greek, it means saturated, dripping like a sponge. You have filled Jerusalem with your peanut brittle, with your pizzas, no, with your what? Doctrine. That's why one reason I really appreciate your pastor, Roy Grant, is because of all the extension churches they have around the city of Madison. No, what we're trying to do, we're trying to saturate this city with this doctrine. With this doctrine. That is why every one of you, when's the last time you handed out a tract? When's the last time you taught a home Bible study? When's the last time you drove across town to bring anyone to church? When's the last time you just witnessed on the job? Listen, with great revelation comes great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. We cannot just sit in here and say, whoa, yeah, boy, we love this doctrine. No, folks, our obligation and our responsibility is to do everything we can to saturate Madison with this doctrine. Keep telling people about it. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6, and verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, but God be thanked, because it's saying we were the slaves of sin, but God be thanked, we were the slaves of sin, servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And so now we're not serving sin anymore, we are serving God. Because you have obeyed, thank God for a form of doctrine. I'm here to tell everybody I'm not, folks, I love repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Ghost, because I don't care what the sin is, I don't care what the habits are, I don't care what the lifestyle is, there's power in repentance, there's power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in the Holy Ghost. I could give so many examples, but I guess one that would be closest to this culture in which we are living, I was preaching at this church, maybe 250, 300 people, first night of revival on a Wednesday, and we open up the altar, and a woman comes and prays right in front of the pulpit, right in front of the pulpit. All right. And so here's these 200 apostolics. They come, and no one even gets near this person. And so I go to pray with this woman, and this dear saint of God comes up to me and gets my attention, said, Brother Mackey, that's not a woman. It's a man dressed like a woman. You know, and the fact that the church wasn't praying with this individual made me kind of think, you know, we don't want the bad sinners around here. We just want those good sinners, you know. I remember looking at that dear woman and saying, ma'am, Jesus died for this individual. Died. What is his name? His name is Michael, Brother Mackey. So I said, okay. So I kneeled down in front of Michael. I said, it's good to have you here. And what's your name? And he said, Michelle. I said, no, it's not Michelle, it's Michael. And I said, Michael, I'm not a psychoanalyst, I'm not a counselor. I said, I don't know if you've been abused by mom, dad, aunt, uncle, whatever, but I said, you're not a woman, you're a man, and God is not pleased with this. But you're at the right place. You're at an altar where you have a change of direction in your life and a change of mind and a change of thinking. So I said, come on, let's pray. God, help us now. All right, and so Michael left, comes back Thursday night revival, still dressed in feminine attire. All right, comes back Friday night, still dressed in feminine attire. But this time there's tears on his face and mascara's rolling down his cheeks. And he was so touched by God. No service Saturday night. I'm standing in the vestibule Sunday morning. And here comes this young man I hadn't seen the whole week. I said, nice to have you here, sir. He said, I'm Michael, Brother Mackey. I said, you're a good-looking man, Michael. Amen. That morning, he repented of his, we baptized him in Jesus' name. He came up out of the water speaking with other tongues. I don't care what the sin is. There is power in this form of doctrine. Power. Obey it. That's why it's important. That's why we cannot let it go. Because people were serving sin, and we could have some testimonies right now while you lived. But one day you repented of your sins, you were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you don't serve sin anymore. You serve God. Now let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 16, because this is our mail. Romans chapter 16, this is a kind of a neat chapter because Paul writes this letter, and he mentions all these saints of God that did various things for him and individuals that he took note of. But it says in verse 17 of Romans 16, now I beseech you, brethren. The word beseech in the literal Greek means I will get on my knees and beg. I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Because every time you read the word doctrine in the Bible, it is singular, except one is plural, and it refers to the doctrines of devils. If anyone causes divisions or offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, hug them, kiss them, have them over for a barbecue. Avoid them. Folks, I didn't say this. Pastor Grant didn't say this. The Word of God says this. According to Romans 16, 17, God's true church cannot be a part of a one-world ecumenical church where we have a great big table, take a little bit of Mormonism, a little bit of Catholicism, you know, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of Muslim, a little bit of Baptist, a little bit of Pentecostal, and have something that pleases everybody. No, we cannot be a part of a one-world church because we are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, if someone is sincerely asking questions about doctrine, that's one thing. But if someone is causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, the Bible says mark them, all right, and avoid them. I was preaching revival, and some individuals came in to the revival service. And in fact, there was five families that came in, five families, husbands and wives, and the majority of them had their college degrees, school teachers, accountant. One was a mechanic, and within the next 2 years, they were Sunday school teachers. The accountant was the church secretary, treasurer. And the mechanic kept, you know, the vans running and everything. All right. So now, it's a few years after that I get a call from the pastor. I was preaching down in Indianapolis and said, Brother Mackey, these individuals were saved under your ministry and they respect you. And it seems like I cannot really talk with them. And I said, and they don't listen to me. So we set up a conference call for that afternoon. But what happened is one of these five women received a little cassette tape in the mail from a church called the Walk Church, W-A-L-K, the Walk Church. All right, and then she shared this tape with two of these other five women that were baptized. All right, and then they wrote and got some more literature and some more tapes. So then they were still coming to the Apostolic Church on Wednesday night, but on Tuesday night they were sitting in their own living room listening to the tapes of the Walk Church. And then the day came when these three women traveled 90 miles one way to go to a service in the Walk Church. 180 miles round trip. And know what? When they went into the Walk Church, people laid hands on them and prophesied to the first lady, "Yea, I say, you are on a long, long journey." She said, "Oh, I knew it. I could tell I was on a long, long journey." The second lady laid hands on her. "Yea, I say, you are going to play the guitar and write songs." I knew there was music in my heart. I knew it. To the third one, "Yea, I say, you're going to be mightily used of God in the gifts." Oh, they're on cloud nine, you know. Then they get the other two ladies coming. And now the husbands are coming. And on the Sunday morning that these 10 adults came into the apostolic pastor's office and said, "This is our last service in this church." So suddenly he loses four Sunday school teachers. He loses his secretary treasurer. Folks, I mean, 10 people at one shot were gone. So we set up that phone call that afternoon. And I talked to them. And one man is a spokesman for the group. And I said, "What about doctrine?" He said, "Brother Mackey, every time we come to church, we hear about repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and speaking with tongues, and we just feel like there's more for us out there," is the word he used. That's the word, out there. And I said, "But we are built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." I said, "What's the foundation of this?" They said, "Brother Mackey, really, we're going to be okay, you know, but we just feel there's more for us out there." So they left. When they all went to the Walk Church, they did not realize that every woman in the Walk Church had a maternity dress on. Because the Walk Church, because God, the basis of their doctrine was, God told Abram, "Be perfect and walk before me." And if anyone in the church died of cancer, it's because they weren't walking perfectly. If they got killed in a car accident, they weren't walking perfectly either. All right? If they were sick, then you're not perfect. All right? But now, because we're like Abraham, we're supposed to get with the program, where we're supposed to reproduce and bear Abraham's seed. So, every woman had a maternity dress on. Now, I don't know everything Brother Grant teaches, but if he taught that, we have a few Abrahams and Sarahs here tonight. I mean, we would need a real miracle, all right? We really would. But within the next year, all these women had a maternity dress on, all right? In fact, one woman had a set of twins, all right? I mean, her youngest was 15. They almost had the empty nest, and now they get twins. Twins are exciting anytime, but they're really exciting when your youngest is 15, all right? Well, to make a long story short, within the next year, there was illicit sexual relationships between these couples, all right? And some of those couples are divorced this very night. Do you know why? Because someone gave heed to doctrine contrary to what they had learned. The pastor of the apostolic church called the pastor of the walk church and said, what about doctrine? And the pastor of the walk church said, I hate doctrine. I hate it. And here we are, a church that is continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13 in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass. Wow. Folks, there's a lot of dreamers of dreams out here. There's a lot of prophets and prophetesses. There's a lot of bottles of miracle water that are being sold. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Folks, this is serious stuff now. Folks, after they're prophesying and after they dream their dreams and after they lay hands on the sick and they recover, when they're all done prophesying and dreaming and praying, ask them, what is your doctrine? What is your doctrine? If you're going to turn me away, or listen, everybody, you better stick with the God that brought you out of Egypt. You better stick with the God that took drugs out of your life. You better stick with the God that put your marriage together, that brought you out of bondage. Now, my daughter was 8 years old when we started evangelizing. And, you know, so we did a lot of eating at pastor's tables, you know. And so one time my daughter said, Dad, I don't want broccoli. I want peanut M&Ms. And what did I say? Oh, honey, I love you so much you never have to eat vegetables again. Eat all the chocolate you want because I love you. Dad, I don't want to go to bed at 9. I want to stay up till 1 o'clock a.m. Oh, you do? Yeah, you sweet thing. You can stay up till 1 o'clock if you want. I love you. You want to play in the street? Yeah, you go play in the street because I love you. Folks, that would not have shown my love. It would have shown my lack of love. You are not eating your M&Ms till you eat this broccoli because I love you. You're going to bed at 9 o'clock because I love you. You're not playing in the street because I love you. Amen. Do you know how you know this pastor loves you? He puts a fence around your spiritual yard. In here there is safety, but out there is danger. That's how you know God loves you. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Folks, it's there. That's how we know God loves us. So in a day of, folks, of all the dreamers and all the prophesying, folks, if they want to take you away from the God who brought you out of Egypt, All right, we avoid them. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, because this is our mail. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, you know, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Why? Because they're going to be burned at the stake or beheaded? No. Because they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, that's the age we're living in. Listen, the devil has changed his tactics. He really has. Because he knew, folks, when they persecuted the first church, folks, and they burned them at the stake and they beheaded them and fed them to lions, it did not stop the church. But now they're seducing spirits, wooing, spirits. When my father pastored in Duluth, Minnesota, there was a church that there was one family there, a man and wife and their children. All right, and my dad would travel there, you know, maybe twice a month, you know, to have a Bible study with them and encourage them that a man's going to come there and start a church. And I remember being a little boy, and this man and woman would be in their living room weeping and crying, God, send us an apostolic preacher. God, let there be an apostolic church in this town. A man went to that town, all right, and started a church, and there's still a church there today. But this man and woman, all right, who were there initially, started going to a charismatic home prayer meeting to win this whole group to God, all right. But after 2.5 years, they did not win anybody to God. But this group just kind of sucked them in. Do you know what? We cannot compromise the name of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise one God. We cannot compromise the initial Bible evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. We cannot. So now they left the church. They left the apostolic doctrine. But their children are now grown, married, have kids, and they love the apostolic doctrine. So now I'm an evangelist, and I'm preaching at this church. And all the kids are there, you know, and the mom and dad aren't there. And they said, Mom and Dad, Ernest Mackey's son, Jonathan, is preaching. Why don't you come to church again? Come, you know, just come and visit. And now they had a nice new building. And so, but it had been so long since the mom and dad came to church that they didn't realize that the starting time was moved from 7 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So they came at 7 o'clock. Right when I was in the pulpit reading my text, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And the church is now packed, and the only place to sit was in the front row. So here comes this man and woman, and we preachers, we can think about what we just said, what we're saying, what we're going to say, and we can still watch you and know what we're thinking, who's listening and who's not listening, all right? And so I'm doing all this, and I said, man, I'm thinking, those are the friends of my mom and dad, you know, that we used to go to their house. And so now, I mean, I'm sorry, but this man had his shirt unbuttoned down to here. He had 3 gold chains around his neck. He had his hair permed and curled. Wow, he was so sharp. If I shook hands with him, I would bleed, you know. I mean, really. I mean, it's just, and so I'm preaching my guts out. And know what he does, folks? He slouches on the pew. Slouch and looks at me, and he's shaking his head the whole time I'm preaching. And there was a time he used to clap his hands at truth and raise his hands at truth and just say, preach it! So now everyone comes to the altar, but they don't come to the altar. They're standing in the center aisle. They said, Jonathan, come here, come here. I said, it's so nice to see you folks. It's been so long since I've seen you. And the woman said, you still really believe this, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. You know, and then the man said, do all speak with tongues? And I said, don't twist the scriptures. Don't take that out of context. I said, folks, I remember going to your house when I was a little boy, and both of you would weep and cry that a man would come to this town and preach this message. Do you remember that? She said, yes, I remember. But she said, but we've been enlightened now. The word she used was enlightened. I said, no, you have not been enlightened. I said, you have been seduced. The problem with the man who's been seduced, he doesn't know he's been seduced because he's been seduced. Hey, everybody, there's seducing spirits in this world. If there was ever a time to keep both feet in the apostolic church, it's in 2017. The very superintendent that questioned me at my ordination, are you going to preach one God baptism in Jesus' name? Yes, yes, yes. Folks, he died not even believing this message. So it says in verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, of 1 Timothy chapter 4, excuse me. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What makes a good minister? The car he drives, how much silk is in his tie? No. A good minister says, hey, everybody, there's seducing spirits out here. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. And, let's all say and of good doctrine. Listen, do you want to be nourished? Yes. There's so much faith preaching out here. But just faith preaching does not nourish you. You will be nourished in the words of doctrine and of faith and doctrine. Now, there was another place that we preached, and this woman had us over for dinner every night. And she had the neatest kitchen. When my wife cooked, you could tell someone had been cooking in there. But folks, this kitchen was so neat. And so it's Sister Mackie and me, the pastor and his wife. And so there's four of us. She puts on a little bowl of potatoes, a little bowl of peas, a little bowl of salad, and a platter with five thin-cut pork chops. Now, I can eat three thin-cut pork chops and two thick-cut pork chops. Okay. All right. So I take a pork chop. Sister Mackie takes a pork chop. The pastor takes a pork chop. His wife takes a pork chop. All right? And there's one pork chop left. So I'm looking at that pork chop. And I'm thinking, now, what does Miss Manor say? What does Dear Abby say? I don't know. I mean, and I'm looking over at the stove to see if there's any more food over there, you know? And the pastor said, Brother Mackie, if you want that pork chop, go ahead. I said, thank you, sir. I think I will. You know? Listen, it's very rare that I'm sitting out there. Every time I'm in church, I'm up here. But when I'm sitting out there where you are, know what I'm thinking? I hope he has something to say. Don't just give me a bunch of hallelujahs with a little bit of meringue in between. I want you to be nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. It nourishes you. That's right. Verse 13 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Don't forget it. Don't put it on the shelf. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Are you glad you know what the doctrine is? Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. How many want to be saved? Stay in the doctrine. And then that hear you. How many want to be a soul winner? Yes. Let's look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. For after their own lusts, after their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now some people just do not want to come, and they won't come to the Calvary Gospel Church. Why is that? Because we don't brush our teeth? We don't wear deodorant? I mean, what's the problem here? Some people won't come here. Do you know why? Because they cannot endure sound doctrine. That's why if your pastor's up here, a guest minister, and they're giving you the word of God, and you don't like it, It just rubs you the wrong way. You got to take inventory of your spirit and your heart. What is this about that bothers me? Why can I not endure sound doctrine? But because they cannot endure sound doctrine, they go out there. Listen, everybody, if you want to leave this church, you'll find a pastor out here that tells you, that will tell you what you want to hear. But don't tell me what I want to hear. I want to hear what God wants me to hear. After their own lusts, they heaped up themselves teachers having itching ears. And know what? People turn away their ears from the truth, and they are turned on to fables. Yeah. I remember doing a home missions revival in Pennsylvania, and it was the summertime, and Sister Mackie were driving to church. And in this little town, it seemed like every church was on Main Street. The name of the church, of the street, was Main Street. But they should have called it Church Street. Because here's the Baptist church, here's the Mennonite church, here's the Presbyterian church. And the apostolics, they were renting this little legion hall at the end of the road down here. But because it was summertime, the church doors were open. There was a man at the door welcoming people, and obviously they were the pastor, because some of them had their collars turned backwards, and some of them had a big iron cross hanging around their neck on a necklace, and they were shaking hands with people. And what was so amazing is that three of them had cigarettes in their mouth. They were greeting people. Yeah, good to have you here today. Yeah. And one of them had a cigar. Yep, good to have you. Boy, I like this church, because after church we can light one up together on the parking lot. You'll never see a true apostolic preacher with a cigar hanging out of his mouth. Do you understand that? You need to say, preach to me, Brother Grant. Give me truth. Give me the word of God. Help me. Hallelujah. Amen. To continue. But see, they cannot endure sound doctrine. And that is why. Now, when I'm on the road, you know, I try to tune into Christian radio, you know. And I admit, years ago, I enjoyed Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson, and, you know. But after this 15-minute broadcast, this 15-minute one, this half-hour one, after an hour and a half, I feel just like this. Floating around out there. Really. Say something. What's the foundation? What is this? All right. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We're reading our mail now. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All right. Which complements the doctrine. Now, for all the young preachers in here, all right, you know, Pastor Grant says, all right, I want you to preach next Sunday night or preach next Wednesday night. I mean, you're studying, and say, wow, I found it. I've never heard anyone preach this before. Do you ever wonder why? Really? Maybe it's not sound doctrine, okay? I heard a man at the General Conference. The General Conference, he doesn't open up the Bible. He opens up the Life magazine. And he's talking about outer space and aliens. And I thought, wow, I'm in outer space right now listening to this, you know. No, hey, everybody. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Speak, though, the things which become sound doctrine. Look at verse 7 of Titus. All right? In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine specifically. On corruptness, all right? Really, no deceit, gravity, seriousness, and sincerity without wax. Do you know I'm so glad I'm an apostolic preacher? Because no matter where I preach, I can go to every visitor in that house, amen, and I can shake their hand, look them in the eye, and know that I have not lied to them. I'm not embarrassed, amen, to preach Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In doctrine, no, don't be corrupt. All right, serious sincerity. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn. Now, it's talking about servants now. All right. In verse 9, exhort the servants. All right. Not purloining. The word purloining means you're a servant in the house, but you're not stealing little trinkets, all right, from your master. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Our first responsibility to doctrine, everybody, is to fill Madison with this doctrine. Fill your neighborhood with this doctrine. Fill your school with this doctrine. All right? And our second responsibility is to adorn the doctrine in all things. The word adorn in the Greek means to polish it up and make it shine. You know? Yeah. Adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That's why... Do you understand? That's why you cannot dress the way you want to dress, talk how you want to talk, go where you want to go. Folks, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. So in all things, we adorn the doctrine. Yeah. So that's why when you all go to work on Monday morning, you don't go in there like an old bear out of hibernation. Yeah. It's Monday. No, you go in there and say, whoa, it's Monday. But it's Monday. You're back to work. Why do you feel so good? Because, boy, did we have a good service last night. And we had such a good evangelist. And the presence of God was there. Really? You get excited about church? Yeah, boy, it's Calvary Gospel Church. It's up, you know, it's up there on Commercial Avenue. Wow, really, man, when I go to church, it's dead, D-E-D, dead. I mean, it really is. Well, man, you need to come to church with me. Listen, boy, listen, God's going to touch you. Polish it up and make it shine. Yeah. Well, how do you baptize in your church? In Jesus' name. No, how do you baptize? In Jesus. How do you baptize in your church? I'm so glad you asked. We baptize the way Peter baptized, the way Paul baptized, the only way to be baptized. We baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Do you understand that no one was ever baptized with titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost called over them? But the one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to have a Bible study sometime? Listen, polish it up and make it shine. Do you speak in tongues? You know, sometimes. You know. Do you speak, you know, about once a month, you know. No. You say, do you speak in tongues? Yes, I do. Do you? You don't? How old are you? You are 48 years old and you've never spoken with other tongues? Oh, you need to come to church with me. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. Polish it up and make it shine. Well, here, have some marijuana. Well, I can't. Well, Pastor Grant won't let me. Really? Boy, is he tough or what? Yeah, T-U-F, tough. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, come on, let's go to the casino. I wish I could, but my church won't let me. What church is that? Calvary Gospel. Oh, thanks for telling me. I'm never going there. Oh, no. Folks, you're not polishing it. You're not making it shine. Yeah. Come on, have some marijuana. Are you kidding me? My body's not the temple of drugs. My body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to deliver you. That's right, folks. Don't blame how you live on the pastor or on the church. We adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. How we live, how we dress, how we talk, our actions and our attitudes. Now, I was going to Apostolic Bible Institute in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it was my second year, and I had a job running. I was working in a factory, and I had a 10-ton punch press. All right, it was a punch press. And for all of you ladies, you know, a punch press has a safety device. There's two handles. You put the metal part in there. You pull two handles down. Boom, all the pressure comes down. And it punches out the metal piece, all right? The punch press goes back up, and then you put your hand in there, clear away the metal shavings, stick in another part, put That's what I did. Okay. So I was working, and I had been there for a while, and I punched out the part. The punch press went up, and I put my hand in there to clear away the metal chips, and I heard a little. That's all I heard. But I never heard that before. And I went to pull my hand out, but it was not fast enough. The press came together. And my hand is caught in all this pressure. I leaned around and I shut off the machine. I said, "Help, you guys! My hand is stuck." And I passed out in the machine, all right? So when I wake up, I'm in the car. My foreman's taking me to the hospital. I have a glove on, a work glove, and there's some blood right here. Okay, but I'm feeling good. I just thought, I'm going to go to the hospital, get better, and go back to work. So it's midnight, all right? So there's an emergency, the emergency ward. And there's a nurse there. A nurse. I don't know where she went to school, though, but a nurse, okay? She said, "What happened to you?" I said, "I caught my hand in a 10-ton press." So instead of cutting the glove off, she pulls the glove off. Is the word stupid politically correct? I don't know. When she pulled the glove, my whole thumb fell apart, came apart. I went into shock, folks. I began to vomit. I just threw up. I mean, so the nurse didn't even take the glove off. She just jammed it back on. She just pushed it on. All right. And she said, and so they called this other deal, and they took all this ice, and they just wrapped my hand up with ice. All right, and then they just put me in a bed, and I woke up about 4:30 in the morning, and I'm going down the aisle, and I'm looking at the lights, and I see surgery room number 3, and no one in the world knew I was going into surgery. All right, no one. I mean, it's nice to have someone praying for you when you're going to surgery. All right, so folks, so this thumb is wired together. Right, the tendon is up here somewhere. All right, it gets, when I hold a can of pop, it's freezes. In the wintertime, it freezes. I cannot bend it. And this happened a long time ago. And now that I'm going to be 74 years old, folks, it just hurts all the time because it's bone on bone. All right. Now, they could have amputated this member. Do you hear me? They could have amputated this member and threw it in the garbage can. In fact, I was in the hospital 30 days with this. I was on an IV, intravenous, because my system was in such shock for 15 days. 30 days? I'm glad we did not have Obamacare, you know, really. I mean, really. 30 days, all right. Folks, they could have amputated this member and threw it away. But you know what? I would have made the adjustment. I would have learned how to do everything with this hand. But folks, you understand, if they took this little member and threw it in the garbage can, that member did not have a chance to make it without the body. But the body was able to make it without the member. And the longer Jesus tarries, folks, everywhere I preach, some people just leave the church for no reason. The members leave. And you know, when members leave the body feels it and the body hurts. But I want all of you to know, folks, I want you to know, if you leave the body, folks, the body's going to make it. Because the body can get along without the member. But you, the member, cannot get along without the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you do, discouraged, God doesn't heal, something happened, no. Whatever I do, I'm going to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Listen, everybody, you need to be apostolic from the bottom of your foot to the top of your head. Amen. Truth should cause your heart to skip a beat. Truth should put a hallelujah on your lips. Truth should put a clap in your hands. Truth should put a hallelujah on your lips. Tell me his name again. Thank God for repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 1950s, Brother Anton Huber and Brother Filipek went to Yugoslavia to preach. It was still communistic, yet communistic. Folks, and I've preached in Yugoslavia, and all the men sit on one side and the women on the other, and they still have trouble raising their hands because under communism, they could not raise their hands because it's acknowledging a higher power. And so the Secret Service would just come and take them away, folks, and no one clapped their hands. And folks, and so... You know, Brother Huber went there and they said, all right, who's going to sing? And they said, no, we don't want singing. Just give us the word. Give us the word. Teach us. Teach us. And Brother Huber and Brother Filipek said, after doing this all day, our voices were so hoarse. And the next day, who's going to sing? Well, they might sing one song, but give us some more teaching. And all these Yugoslavian farmers, folks, they would lock their hands like this. And they would put it between their knees to stop them because they just loved the truth so much that they just wanted to raise their hands or clap their hands, but they couldn't do it. And no one said amen. No one raised their hands. No one clapped their hands the whole service. But boy, but when the service was over, but there's tears on their faces. But when the service is over and all the Yugoslavian people are leaving, folks, you know, they're getting on their horse and buggies and they're walking. Folks, I mean, about a half a block away from the church, they could hear it. Everyone in the buggy raised their hands and said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. People are going around the corner. They're clapping their hands on the way home. Hey, man, aren't you glad we're in the United States of America? Listen, you can clap your hands. You can raise your hands. You can still thank God for the truth. Why don't we stand and clap our hands right now? Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, 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 yes. Truth. Remain standing because we're going to come to this altar. Doctrine should be sound. It should be good. Amen. It should really give a compliment to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. How does that sound? Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how many churches there are in Madison? They're like gas stations. There's one on every corner. They're in storefronts. If I was someone in the world, where do you go to church? But aren't you glad someone invited you to an apostolic church? Someone tell you a whole Bible study. So tonight, we're not going to come to this altar and pray for cancer or a new job or new tires. Number one, we're going to thank him that we could hear the truth one more time. And number two, we're going to leave here with a burden. Lord, help me to do something to fill this city with this doctrine. And Lord, help me to adorn this doctrine of God in all things. With whom much is given, much is required. And for every guest and visitor, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, I wish you would come to this altar tonight. Amen. And somehow just let the still small voice of God. Amen. Just speak to the depths of your heart. Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Salvation, soul.
is here. Thank you, Lord, for saving. Oh, yes. I want to continue. Continue in the apostles' doctrine.
For making me whole.
Sing it one more time. Oh, yes, I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Thank
you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, for making me whole. I thank you, Lord, for giving.
Let's all raise our hands and thank Him in our own way, in your own words. Atamo, hallelujah. Oh yeah, just tell me His name again, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for truth. I thank you. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was a slave, but now I'm free. I was dirty, but now I'm washed. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Help me to do more, God, to fill Madison with this doctrine. Why don't we pray there right now? Let's pray. Lord, help me. You know my personality. Jesus, when's the last time I witnessed to anybody? When's the last time, Lord? Jesus, to saturate this city with this doctrine. Jesus. And God, help me to adorn the doctrine in all things, my attitude, my lifestyle, my conversation, my dress, my talk. Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For every new convert in this building, you've just now repented, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Continue, 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 continue in the Apostles' Doctrine. For all of you that have been around here for a long time, let's keep filling our cities with it. And let's keep adorning it. God bless you, Pastor Grant. I'll turn this back to you.
Brother Mackey, wasn't this incredible tonight? I am thankful that we have a foundation here at Calvary Gospel Church that has been laid, has been built, and we have to keep that foundation strong because everything, everything, everything revolves around a firm, strong foundation. And doctrine, strong doctrine, is our foundation. Praise God. So great. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. And just shake hands. Greet each other. Greet your brother. Tell him how good looking they are. Whatever you... Thank you so very much. We'll be back Sunday morning. Brother Mackey will be preaching more to our guests. So it'll be a real Holy Ghost message. So bring a guest with you. expecting God to do some great things. Thanks again, Brother Mackey. Thank you so very much to all of our guests that are here. Thank you so much for coming out. God bless you all.